So now I invite you to stand in honor of our gospel lesson and see if this sounds familiar. A reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." Not wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go, and do likewise." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, be present with us in the preaching of your word, that we may hear among these words in our own reflections offered for us this day. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about what it means to be a good neighbor. David and I had a good neighbor experience recently. When I got the call from my sister that my father had taken a turn for the worse and we needed to get to Richmond, Virginia, one of the first calls I made was to our neighbors, Greta, Joey, Ellie, and Ryan Smith. I told them what was going on and asked if they wouldn't mind picking up our newspapers and our mail while we were gone. "Be happy to," was the immediate response. And imagine how wonderful it was when we pulled up into our driveway after 2 weeks filled with emotional and physical strain to see that our lawn had been mowed. David gave his cheer. "Yay!" Joey had done that. And then, just after we had unloaded everything from the car, we got a phone call. Greta and Ryan were bringing supper over, along with the newspapers and the mail that they had been collecting. Homemade chicken pot pie, a salad, homemade cookies. Those are good neighbors. And when we talk about what it means to be a good neighbor, the story of the Good Samaritan is often an example that we lift up. If you do a quick Google search of that term, Good Samaritan, you'll come up with all kinds of helping agencies. There are Good Samaritan hospitals, Good Samaritan centers, the Church of the Good Samaritan, and even a Good Samaritan Society that offers home health care services for senior adults. Many communities also have a Good Samaritan law, which provides basic legal protection for those who assist a person who is injured or in danger. So what do we glean from all of these associations? That a Good Samaritan is a person who selflessly helps others, especially those who may find themselves in some kind of ditch. But Amy Jill Levine, the author of the resource Short Stories by Jesus, that we're using to look a little more closely at some of these familiar parables, she challenges us to go a little deeper than just learning what it means to be nice to each other, especially to the stranger. She says, those who were listening to Jesus tell the Good Samaritan story would have had a very different kind of experience. To his Jewish audience, Samaritans would not have been strangers at all. In fact, Jews knew, or at least thought they knew, Samaritans very well. And what they knew is that they hated them. And that hatred went back generations. It was something their parents taught them. It was something their grandparents taught them, and their grandparents before. Jews did not like Samaritans. Samaritans did not like Jews. In fact, both of them would go out of their way so that they wouldn't even set foot in the other's neighborhood. Now, we don't have time today to go into the details of all of that hatred. It had to do with rival tribes, rival kings, rival temples, rival styles of worship. At one point, King Ahab built a temple in Samaria, which King Jehu later destroyed and turned into what he called a latrine. Interestingly enough, when you think about the context of the Good Samaritan story, being a Jewish lawyer wanting to know what the law was in terms of being a good neighbor, Samaritans called themselves the guardians of the law and believed that they taught the correct interpretation of the law. So the label Good Samaritan for these Jewish listeners would have made their blood boil, because those were two words that you should never put together. Good Samaritan? Are you kidding me? Maybe in order to give some of an idea, we should think about how we would feel to listen to someone in authority talk about a good terrorist or a good murderer. And with the way our current culture so quickly puts people into categories and makes value judgments, depending on your perspective, it would also be like listening to someone talk about a good liberal or a good Trump supporter. Or a good NFL football player who kneels for the national anthem. Or a good Confederate flag waver. Are you getting a little bit more of the idea? That's what's so hard and challenging about this story. Notice how when the lawyer is asked by Jesus who the good neighbor is in the story, he can't even say, he can get out of his mouth is the one who showed him mercy. The question, who is my neighbor, that the lawyer poses to Jesus isn't really the question he's asking, is it? His real question is, who is not my neighbor? Who does not deserve my love? Who can I hate? And he's wanting to know limits, and he's wanting to know boundaries. He's connecting it with his question of what he must do to inherit eternal life, and he's really looking for a checklist. What do I have to do, and what do I not have to do to be good and righteous in the eyes of God? By lifting up a story about a good Samaritan, Jesus makes the answer pretty clear. You cannot restrict the responsibilities of the call to love. There are no limits, not only to how you should think about people, but also to how you should treat people. When Jesus uses the examples of the priest priest walking by and the Levite walking by, he's showing not only that they failed to help, but also that they failed in following the law. And E.J. Levine points out that all kinds of machinations we have used to try and let the priest and the Levite off the hook. How the priest couldn't touch the man because then he would have been unclean and then he wouldn't have been able to do his priestly duties. How the Levite risked putting his own life in danger that maybe the robbers were still around. But Jewish law was very clear that if you came upon someone in need, you helped. That was the first law. And any other considerations, such as purity or self-protection, were subservient to that primary law. And anyway, the Samaritan would have lived by that same law. They had the same scriptures. The rules were the same for him. So when Jesus lifts up the model of the Good Samaritan, the issue for him is not the who, but the what. It's not the identity, but the action. He's offering a very vivid picture of those who say they are righteous, who say they are faithful followers, who in our context say they are Christian, but don't act like it. They don't put hands and feet on the call to love. They put limits on the call to love. They draw lines between who is worthy of their love and who is not. The one who shows mercy. That's the phrase the lawyer lifts up in terms of what it means to be a good neighbor. Amy Jill Levine suggests that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. provides a good explanation of how we decide what it means to be a good neighbor. He preached on this text, and in exploring why the priest and the Levite walked by without offering aid, Dr. King said, "I'm going to tell you what my imagination tells me. These men were afraid. If I stop to help, what will happen to me?" The Good Samaritan, he continues, reverses the question. If I do not stop to help, what will happen to him? That's the real test of this command to love. A call is to love as God. Love we are shown, especially in the life and death of our Savior Jesus, is a love without limits. A love that looks beyond one's own needs and even one's opinion. As a way to put yourself in the story of the Good Samaritan, then we're going to take on a little project. Right now, I want you to get a picture of someone. It could be a specific person. It's a description or a category of a person, someone who you really consider an enemy, someone you have a real hard time listening to or being in the same room with, imagining yourself connecting with. Do you have that picture? Now I want you to say this phrase in your heart. You shall love the some concrete act of mercy toward that someone. We're going to be celebrating communion in a minute, so maybe you can start by imagining yourself coming to the altar with that person by your side. Once the lawyer gets that picture in his mind, this picture of a good Samaritan, Jesus tells him what to do. He says, "Go and do likewise. The woman was trying to test Jesus, but as often happens when we try to test Jesus, he ended up getting tested himself. And isn't that our test as well? To consider and to do to others what God does for us. Mercy. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come to your table, we pray that you'll help us to bring all that we are, the good parts of ourselves, but also the parts of ourselves that can be ugly, the parts of ourselves maybe we'd rather not look at or consider. We pray that you'll help us to bring it all to you as you come and you see.